The following is a recording of the Kathy Granis teleconference with the National Retail Federation on Thursday, July 18th, 2013 at 12 o'clock p.m. Central. Excuse me, everyone. We now have our speaker teleconference. Please be aware that each of your lines is in a listen-only mode. At the conclusion of the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given if you would like to ask a question. I would now like to turn the conference over to Kathy Granis.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you so much for joining our top back-to-school trends media briefing. I'm excited to have our President and CEO, Matthew Shea, join us, as well as our Chief Economist, Jack Kleinhens. The summer is in full swing, and I don't know where most of you are, but in Washington, D.C., it's sweltering, so of course that means there's one thing on consumers' and retailers' minds, maybe not children, and that's back to school. So to kick things off, I'm going to ask Matt some questions and see what he has to say about what's happening with consumer spending and what to expect from retailers. Matt, our survey this year found that spending looks to decrease about 8%. Can you put that spending decrease in context for us? Does this mean that retailers should be concerned about what to expect from consumers or the health of consumer spending?
Thanks, Kathy, and thank you all for joining us this afternoon. I think that the survey results, and while they demonstrate that consumers expect to spend less this year than they did last year, in the right context, demonstrate that what we really have is the highest year we've ever had in terms of spending on back to school, with the exception of last year. And last year was exceptional. It was sort of a high water mark because people were replenishing for kids. It was an exceptionally large school age class that was entering school last year. So there were a number of factors that changed things and made last year exceptional. So this year, in historic terms, this is still a very strong year. We're expecting spending, while it's going to decrease on a per household basis slightly, total spending also, it's still an instance in which maybe we're down, but consumers are clearly not out. The backdrop against which we're doing this, I think we should remember, since you asked about consumers, basically for the last 3 years, consumers have carried the economy. I mean, the only real growth we've seen that's been fairly consistent is retail sales and consumer spending on a month-to-month basis, with the exception of a couple of months earlier this year when we, endured the self-inflicted pain of the the fiscal cliff discussion and the tax increases on small business, the expiration of the payroll tax holiday, all those things combined to make it a little tougher. I think we also know that there's some macroeconomic issues that are at work here still that are, depressing spending somewhat. So I think, for some families, there's just simply not a need to splurge every year. They might have stocked up on some of these items last year. You don't necessarily have to have everything new for every child every year. And according to our research firm, Proper Insights, nearly half of Americans say that over the past 6 months they begin to focus more on needs rather than wants. And a similar number have basically said that they've started to become a lot more practical. So I think all those things are contributing to a year that, if we look back, we would consider historically high, because it's still 5% higher than where we were 2 years ago, but it's just not going to reach the same, the same levels of last year, which were really way outside the mean.
Thanks, Matt. We talk a lot at NRF about the economy and its impact on consumer spending. Our surveys the last couple years have even added that specific question for big spending events, at least. What can you tell us, specific to school-age children and their families, about how you know, these consumers will adjust their spending plans because of the impact the economy is having on their budget.
Well, listen, there's no question that the economy still has a tight grip on spending decisions for all Americans, certainly for those that are participating in the back-to-school season. The survey results found that 8 in 10 of respondents say the economy is still going to impact their back-to-school spending plans, which is essentially the same as last year, so that hasn't improved dramatically. And I think they're taking into consideration, you know, depending upon the income segment, gasoline prices have increased. You know, the unemployment rate is still very high, troublingly high, too high. And there remains a great deal of uncertainty out there. So, you know, while people are finding ways to get by, they really are trying to spend more practically. They're getting the things they really have to have. They may be spreading their purchases out over a longer period of time. And they're not making as many big-ticket purchases. They're not feeling as confident about longer-term investing. And they're employing a number of strategies to adapt. 37% of shoppers say they're going to do comparison shopping online more often, which is up from 32% last year. So we see some pretty significant change in that number, that there are more people that are doing the comparison shopping. A number have indicated they're even going to postpone major family investments, more expensive big-ticket items that they might need for back-to-school. 8% this year say they'll delay that kind of a purchase, up from 6% last year. So those are obviously as more expensive individual items, that has a greater and a disproportionate impact on total spending. And in addition to rising interest rates and instability in the stock market, although it's back up now to pretty incredible highs, and some consumers, and more likely those in the middle income area, are really still feeling the pinch from the things that happened at the beginning of the year, the increase in taxes, the expiration of the payroll tax holiday. And the survey bears that out. The survey indicates that those making less than $50,000 a year are going to spend nearly a 30%, 27% less than average back-to-school shoppers. You know, that goes right to the issue of gas prices and discretionary income having shrunk pretty dramatically for a big segment of the economy. And, you know, growing children obviously cost money, and many of us know about that. The question becomes the same one we've asked for years, and that is, in this case for us, more broadly speaking, how long can consumer spending really drive economic growth and recovery here when we know all these other factors are contributing to some serious concerns about finances and about the financial future.
So let's jump to something that is that we've seen a lot of the last few weeks, and you know, I think we see more of during the holiday season, but maybe it's coming to us during the back-to-school season. Is there a back-to-school creep? What's going on with retailers putting out early promotions, and are families really out there looking for deals?
Well, you know, the results of the survey do bear some of this out. 24% of the survey respondents indicated that they're going to shop at least 2 months before school starts, which, depending upon which part of the country you live in, could be right now. That's the earliest that we've seen in the 11, in more than a decade of doing this survey. So, you know, and this is a little bit of a question mark, you know, which comes first? Are retailers responding to or creating the early demand, as you said, we've seen during the holiday season when shoppers are simultaneously out doing Christmas decorations while they're also out picking out pumpkins for Halloween? And, you know, I think we go back to the observations a few minutes ago about the pressures on discretionary spending and disposable income, that because more people are forced to spread their purchases out, they can't do all the consumption that they might like to do at one time, so they're spreading it out over a longer period of time. And I think a number of retailers that we've spoken to, and we can come back and talk about what's on the minds of retailers, but I think retailers anticipate, and so do consumers, that there'll be some shopping that has to happen now to get kids back to school, and whatever those things are they really must have to go to school, they'll get those now, and maybe some of the other things that they need but don't necessarily need on day one, they'll spread out and get those as we get a little further into the school season.
I think that actually segues very nicely into, our next question for you, which is surrounding inventory. It seems that this time of year, every year, inventory perks up as a very big topic for the retail industry, and likely, justly so, because of the amount that retailers sell between now and January. What are you hearing from retailers, and what do you know about planned inventory levels for this summer? Are shoppers going to, be able to find what they need? Do they need to shop early and often?
Well, inventory is certainly a great indicator of what retailers expect from consumers. And thus far, what we've seen and what we've heard from retailers is that the summer's going to be somewhat cautious in terms of inventory levels. We do a port tracker survey to assess the volume of inbound cargo bound for U.S. retailers, and found that volume at the nation's ports is going to grow just a little more than 1% over this time last year, which is compared to 3% growth a year ago. So you can see that the volume of incoming cargo is down, and looking at the time frame when retailers back to school, shipments are likely beginning to arrive, which would be over the last 30 to 60 days or so. Import levels in June actually decreased by 0.7% compared to a year ago when they were up nearly 0.5%. But in spite of that, we're expecting strong improvements in terms of imports later this summer and into the fall as retailers prepare for the holiday season. And I think that sort of goes to the, one of the questions we usually get, and probably we should observe again as we always do, that because we're talking about a significant subset of the holiday spending market, it's difficult to use any of what happens now as an indicator for what might or might not happen during the holiday season. But I think you can look at this as one season and that as the other, and they're fairly distinct. Cargo import numbers don't directly correlate with sales or employment because they count only containers that are coming in, but the amount of merchandise does provide a good barometer of expectations for sales. And when it comes to inventory, I think we all know, if we follow this, how much better retailers have gotten at managing the supply chain and assessing their inventory needs and ensuring that they've got what they need and when they need it, and that it is priced and stocked appropriately. So that's changed things fairly dramatically as the technology for tracking and buying has improved and given retailers greater ability to manage all of this more effectively. And it, importantly, I think it helps alleviate the potential of excess inventory, which might require unplanned markdowns at a time when retailers are really competing for dollar share, or trying to manage inventory is truly crucial to obviously keeping customers happy while simultaneously operating the business as efficiently as they possibly can.
Yeah, absolutely, especially during a competitive time like this when the back-to-school pie is so big. Let's talk briefly about back-to-college. As a $45.8 billion industry, there's obviously a lot on the line for certain retailers. What are you seeing that's new and different in terms of back to college this year? Often a story untold. So what's new this year?
Well, you know, to briefly summarize the survey, college students and their families are going to spend, you know, an average of about $835 this year, which is similarly down from last year's spending of about $900. And as we've gone through the data, the one thing that's jumped out from the respondents to the survey is the desire, among other things, to really invest in home furnishings. 17% of college shoppers indicated they're going to head to a local home furnishing or decor store, which is the highest we've seen in the survey's history. It looks like those that are shopping there are going to spend more than $100, almost $105, up from just about $100 last year. So I think that demonstrates the evolution of this market, and certainly shows that retailers have done a great job impressing young adults with their school and college campaigns and sort of their presence on college campuses. We all know how much influence young people have today on their parents and on buying decisions, especially when it comes to going to college and decorating that new apartment or dorm as a young adult. So hopefully you all saw the infographic we released today. From that, you'd see college students are pretty unique in their personal style, and retailers that are selling bedding, small appliances, decorations, the kinds of things that will really make these places seem like home away from home, are seeing a significant amount of traffic this summer.
That's definitely a lot of fun. Thank you, Matt. I'm now going to jump to our chief economist, Jack Kleinhens. Jack's going to give us a little bit of insight into some economic indicators surrounding our consumers and the retail industry right now. Jack?
Thanks, Kathy. Thanks, Matt. You know, you started the program is that summer is in full swing. It kind of reminds me of an old tune that roll out those lazy, hazy, crazy days of summer. Certainly I could say that we've had some hazy and crazy days, and perhaps, hopefully, the lazy days in the economy are behind us in the second quarter. And that's really where I want to kind of begin. We won't get another reading on the economy for another 2 weeks in terms of growth, and it has been slow growth in the first quarter and kind of expected in the second quarter. But I think it's going to give way to a little bit of a pickup in the second half. Some of the reasons for that is we've seen some job gains, and that should result in an increase in income and therefore spending. In fact, we've seen unemployment claims down, and if that is a foreshadowing of the future, then I think that we should be seeing some pickup. Job gains were up the last few months. We've been averaging about 200,000. A month for the last few months. Those are good numbers. Not great, but still very good. As Matt mentioned a minute ago, consumers have been driving the economy. 1.5% of the 2.1% GDP growth since June of 2009. 1.5% of the 2.1% of GDP growth since June 2009 has been from personal consumption expenditures. And so I think that the increase in payroll should have, you know, a positive feedback effect. We have to be reminded that employment is a lagging indicator of the future. So if a couple of these reports continue to show traction, we should see some benefit in the second half of the year. And hopefully that gives some benefit to business and business spending. As Matt mentioned, the consumer has been driving much of the economy, and we need some lift from business, especially in the area of investment, new capital and equipment, and if that should take place and we get some traction there, it could cause firms to hire more workers, which would cause the vicious cycle, actually, the virtuous cycle, not the vicious cycle, the virtuous cycle to pick up. Certainly, retailers have benefited from housing recovery. Housing has been a key factor in the last year or so. I wouldn't characterize the housing recovery as fragile. I know there are some concerns that there's been some modest rise in interest rates. But I think that just presents a new dimension, but really shouldn't cause any type of a full stop. I think there's plenty of pent-up demand. We've seen some job gains in some growth in wages and consumer confidence. So I think that'll fuel purchases. Why do I mention that to you? Because, again, retailers are going to be very dependent on what's been going on in the housing market. We've seen in past recession recoveries that housing tends to be one of the first things out of the block, and now we're finally seeing it after all these years. A couple of other things. The normal reporting of retail sales at times can be a little bit difficult because it's in price terms. And what we have seen some slower price increases, although yesterday's CPI came out on a month-to-month and a year-to-year up. Overall, the last year or so, we've been really seeing some stable pricing, which may be showing up in some of the data. In fact, back to school, for back to college, that number could be impacted by the fact that computer and computer equipment is down on a year-over-year basis by some 3% and a large portion of the budget. Let me tell you, I have five kids, and all of them have gone through college. That computers and computer equipment have been costly. Well, anyhow, in terms of broad-based thinking about the economy, as I mentioned, I think the economy has been slowed in this past quarter, certainly by some of the factors that Matt has mentioned, the payroll taxes, small business taxes, the fiscal drag that's occurring. But the further we get away from those, I think we'll see less of an impact. Certainly still have some speed bumps ahead of us. But I would conclude, as long as the consumer can spend, the economy grows. This has been the story. I think we'll continue to see the consumer in the marketplace, even though we'll see some fits and starts. I think the pace of spending is not going to be anything great, but certainly not bad. And, you know, we're looking forward to the rest of the year. Thanks, Kathy.
Thanks, Jack. Carrie, at this time, can you prompt for questions?
Sure. At this time, we'll open the floor for questions. If you'd like to ask a question, you can do so by pressing star 1 on your touch-tone phone now. Again, that is the star key followed by the 1 key. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, press star 2.
Thanks, Carrie. While we wait for the queue to line up here, I'm going to ask Matt one more question. Jack, I know you're familiar with this. And for those of you who read our blog, we recently featured something from Jack in terms of what's keeping economists awake at night. You know, what's on the minds of industry? Well, I think we know what's on the minds of consumers right now, at least. So I'm going to ask Matt, Matt, what's going on? What's on the minds of retailers? What are you hearing as we head into the second half of the year?
Well, I think much like consumers, retailers, look, the retail industry is the largest private sector employer in the country. So we start from the proposition that there are, 42 million jobs created as a result of activity that takes place in the retail industry. That's essentially one in four. It's approaching one-fifth of GDP. It's an enormous part of the economy. And, Jack and I could go back and forth on this and keep playing off each other, but I think the biggest issue on the minds of retailers is how we really get the economy moving forward again. How do we propel the economy forward in a way that is sustainable in terms of the growth and the expansion in the economy? What are the kinds of at least at the federal level, what are the kinds of policies that need to be put in place, or what are the kinds of policies that are going to be impediments to the kind of growth that we want to experience? And I think everyone recognizes the challenges at a political level of accomplishing some of these things. But, you know, some of the things that need to happen, and if they did happen, would be very beneficial for the economy in terms of, you know, reducing the employment rate, creating jobs, spurring some consumer confidence, and again, to Jack's point, you know, the kind of expansion that's going to create incentives for business to invest, not just consumers to do what they need to do to get from one season to the next, would be to, you know, talk about the tax code in this country and how challenging that is for businesses, how it makes us uncompetitive vis-a-vis other markets, how it in many ways deters investment. So reforming the tax code is something important that is, you know, that has been discussed significantly in the Congress. Everyone seems to recognize it needs to happen, but making progress on that is obviously of paramount importance. You know, the immigration issue doesn't necessarily affect the retail industry as directly. Obviously, with some segments of our membership, it does, the chain restaurants and others sort of in hospitality. But, you know, fixing immigration in a comprehensive way would, by virtually all measures, would generate positive benefits for the economy more broadly, because you'd have more people in the economy, you'd generate more in taxes, there'd be more consumption. So getting immigration done would be a good thing. You know, there's a number of trade proposals that are being talked about, the bilateral, the TTIP, so-called Transatlantic Trade Investment Partnership between the U.S. and the European Union, which would put the two largest, essentially, trading partners in the world together. And then the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which is between the U.S. and eight countries in Asia and the Pacific, both of those would be very beneficial for retailers and for consumers. It would lower prices, it would get goods and services into this economy more effectively, would allow us to compete in those other markets. And then, you know, we all have talked a great deal about the effects of the looming implementation of the new healthcare, the federal healthcare law, that's been, at least portions of it, stayed temporarily, delayed temporarily, announced recently by the administration. You know, the closer we get to the implementation of that, you hear both sides of the aisle and politicians in both places in both chambers starting to question whether you know, the healthcare law is really ready for prime time, and it's going to work significant hardship on businesses. It's going to increase costs and regulatory burdens. And so I think all of these things, if they could be sorted out, could unleash the economy. And most of this is politically challenging, but we just have to get out of our own way. And we could really make a lot of progress if we could only do that.
Excellent. Thank you, Matt. Carrie, I think we're ready for our first question.
Okay, our first question comes from Madeline Will with Reuters.
Hi, Madeline. You there?
Your line is now open.
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Thanks for taking my question. Could you expand a little bit on why students are spending more on dorm and apartment furnishings, what they're buying, and whether the cost of dorm stuff overall is going up?
Sure. Hey, hi, Madeline. It's Kathy Granis here. I think what's really cool that we've seen over the last few years is the growth in retailers who want to tap into the savvy styled millennial. You know, millennials right now really love personal style, and they're, you know, we like to say around here, you know, when it comes to dorm rooms and apartment rooms right now, it's not your parents' apartment anymore. You know, it's no longer just taking you to your local department store and picking up a bed and a bag, which works for some students, obviously, but millennials today really want that fashion forward type apartment and dorm. And I think we're going to continue to see retailers enter this space as they really try and attract these you know, young adults.
Okay. Yeah, and do you, is the cost of dorm stuff overall going up?
I'm not sure if it would be going up, you know, based on what Jack said earlier, you know, the CPI index has increased only modestly. So I'm not sure we've heard of significant cost increases on such items as bedding or, like, you know, refrigerators or appliances, but I think there's more of a desire for students, you know, and college students to have this merchandise, and retailers want to be in that space. So I think we'll see a nice increase in that this year.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Yeah.
You can email me if you need anything to follow up on.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Jen Burden with the Record Newspaper.
Yes, hi there. I have a question for Matt. You spoke about how, you know, you can't really read too much from back to school in terms of holiday, but I'm just wondering what has been the NRF's general sense over the years. I know the consumers can always surprise you, but a lot of times you hear that, you know, a strong back to school lead in is a very good sign for a good holiday. Anything like that?
Well, there's a couple of issues. One is that we're talking about a significant subset in terms of those that have school-age kids who are spending for school. So last year was about 33% or so of Americans were doing school-age shopping. This year it's more like 29. So it's a bit lower. Last year was that year was sort of the bulge year where we had the more kids going to school. So in part it's hard to extrapolate from this season to holiday because you're talking about so many fewer people, and in part it's different because back to school is really more about needs. What are your kids, you know, do they need a new pair of jeans? Do they need the new backpack? Do they need crayons and do they need crayons and construction paper, whatever they need to really go to school, versus the holidays is really much more discretionary and aspirational, and it's less about what you need and more about, the way you want to splurge, treat yourself or treat someone you care about, celebrate a special occasion.
And when would the NRF be doing their holiday forecast? Is that usually mid-September, end of September?
It'll be more like the first third to half of October sometime. We'd like to get a little more data. We'll try to digest as much of the August and September activity as we can before we go out with the holiday forecast.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Don House with the Salt Lake Tribune. And as a reminder, to ask a question, please press star 1. Don, your line is now open.
Can you talk specifically about the West in terms of back-to-school sales or the economy?
Hi, Don. It's Kathy Granis. I think we've emailed before. I can actually help you out here. This year, the average – sorry, I have paper in front of me here – the average person in the West will spend about $626.83 on school items. So compared to the average adult, it's about flat. The average adult is about $634. And what I can say is that compared to the other regions, it looks to be second behind the Northeast. I think we're, a lot of that is really the socioeconomic factor, big cities in the Northeast and the West. The Northeast will spend about an average of $719, the Midwest and South will spend both in the low 600s. So I think there's definitely the city factor there, but certainly a big chunk for retailers on the West Coast or in the West.
Thank you.
And our next question comes from Laura Gunderson with the Oregonian.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Laura.
I just got a question about advertising. I've seen some interesting campaigns with the Office Depot and One Direction, and then Target has their folks streaming live in that big kind of dollhouse thing. I'm just curious what other kinds of interesting back-to-school advertising you guys have seen and what you think retailers are trying to say to consumers that is different this year.
Hi, Laura. I'll give this a first go and see if Matt has any extra thoughts. I think what's really interesting right now is the we're seeing a lot of free shipping already. And I think, you know, retailers recognize that that's one of the top promotions that they can offer any time of the year. So some companies are already coming out and say free shipping on everything college-related or school-related. Electronics companies that are giving away or that are selling MP3s or tablets, I think, are also looking to entice students with, you know, gift cards. We've seen that the last few years. I think one of the most interesting trends in terms of advertising for back to school is that parents have the unique challenge of attracting mom and dad who have the dollars and attracting the teenager and the college student. So, you know, regardless of which space the company is primarily in, these, you know, retailers have a really hard job of making sure that their marketing message resonates with mom and dad and the student. So I think that's where the web comes in and social media comes in, as well as the in-store promotions, you know, for mom and dad looking for value in denim. You know, that same student might be looking at denim on the website or through social media. So I think, you know, we'll continue to see those types of advertisements in those spaces online, through social, and in store.
Thank you.
That help?
Hey, thank you. As a reminder, to ask a question, you can do so by pressing star 1.
Great. I think that's it. I would like to thank Matt and Jack, of course, for their time. If you have any questions specific to the data, Sherry Brown and I are available. Sherry is at brownf@nrs.com. Please don't hesitate to call with follow-up questions or if you need explanation on any of the other data in the survey. And with that, thank you very much.
Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.